As mentioned last week, we began a two-sermon series on wisdom, on choices, on decisions that we make. It is the Lord's will that we make godly decisions, good decisions, every day of our lives. And we particularly took for our text Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. All of your days, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I want us to read the chapter 2 of Proverbs, and then down to verse 8 of chapter 3. It's page 561, if you have one of the church Bibles, page 561, and it would be good if you can follow it. Verse 1 of chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God for it. Wisdom. This is all about wisdom. Proverbs is full of wisdom. It talks about wisdom a lot. God has given us his Son to be made wisdom unto us. God has given his Son, Jesus Christ, to be wisdom unto us. And in him are laid up all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge for our use. In Christ is laid up all the treasure of wisdom. So I think when we read about wisdom, even in Proverbs, we can look at Christ. We can see Christ in the scriptures. If we have Christ, we have wisdom. We have wisdom. In him dwells all the fullness of God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the scripture goes on to say, if you are in Christ, that you are complete in him. You, beloved, if you are a born-again believer following Jesus, the scripture says you are complete in him. He is the head of all principality and all power. Blessed be his name. So just quickly reviewing one or two of the things which we shared last week, and indeed on Wednesday, God does want us to make good choices, wise choices, good decisions. Those who are born again, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, hey, the scripture tells us, we partake of his divine nature. Therefore, we know he is able to give us wisdom when we seek it. He is able to direct our paths when we ask him. We partake of his divine nature. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give you it. He will give you wisdom liberally, freely, without reproach, without regret. We've got a good God. He wants us to make wise decisions. If we're still in our sins, if as yet we haven't humbled ourselves before God, if we're not walking by faith in the beloved Son, Jesus Christ, it means that we have a father who's called the devil. He is the father of lies, and he will keep us in bondage to our own sinful self and pleasures and so on. He will want to destroy us. So although we could still make good decisions, we could still be merciful to others from time to time, we may on the face of it be quite a nice person, we're dead inside. Totally dead, you see. And even, you know, the Lord won't be able to give us wisdom, because the wisdom of God is foolishness to those who are in darkness, you see. So I plead, if any are here this morning who aren't walking right with the Lord, you may be in church and you may have been coming to church donkey's years, but you're still in darkness. You haven't got the peace of God, the forgiveness of sin. You're not walking with the Lord now. I plead with you, let you humble yourself before God and seek his forgiveness, his grace. That's why he went to the cross, to take our punishment, that which we deserve, upon himself, and to make us whole, forgiven, and so that we can live and reign with him and seek in this life to bring glory to him, to bring the light of Jesus to a very needy world. Plead with you to make sure you get right with God. Tomorrow may be too late. The decisions we make affect not only ourselves but others, don't they? Good or bad, and they could have an impact on eternity. God wants us to live wisely. Last evening, Sister Evelyn used another proverb, didn't she, with the young people. Proverbs chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And as part of my wanting to do the right thing, living God's way, and allowing the character of Christ and his Spirit to be formed in me, I must have a holy respect for him, so must you. You must have a fear of the Lord. And in that way, he is pleased to reveal his wisdom, his understanding. Sister Evelyn mentioned last evening that foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. Foolishness is folly. Foolishness is ignoring God and doing my thing, or listening to the bad advice of bad people. And as children and young people, if we are wise, we will listen to our parents. We will learn from correction. We will learn from our own mistakes. And yes, we will, and this applies to us all, whatever our age, that we will choose our friends, those who we hang out with, those who will have the most influence on us, wisely. Wisely. Carefully. We will remember that there are consequences to our actions. And Evelyn mentioned that we should never be timid in asking what the right thing is to do. Not just the easy things, the right thing is often not the easy thing. Often when we say we are having problems with guidance, dear friends, what we're really having a problem with is obedience. That often is our problem. And we said on Wednesday night, what was the first step? We said we were going to look at six steps. We looked at two and we'll look at the coming four. By the way, the home group will be at my home on Wednesday. I forgot to mention that. The home fellowship. The first step is... Yeah, obedience. Make sure we are doing what God has already told us to do. Make sure that we've been obedient to God's word. And this book is full of instruction, isn't it? It really is. So make sure we are continuing in what God has called us to do. Thank you. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We mentioned last week that God does not want to tell us everything about the future. Now, we have in this book good prophecy. We should know what is taking place and be able to understand something of God's dealings with both the church and the world, so that we do have an understanding and that we are warned as well as encouraged. And the understanding is that we may also share that with others, so that we are found safe in the ark of Jesus. But what we were saying particularly is that we don't know what's going to happen to me and to you tomorrow or the day after or next week. God has wisely withheld that from us, but he does want us every moment by moment, to trust him. Take steps of faith and trust in him. He will reveal to us what he wants us to know. We also said that he does want us to trust in his word and in himself explicitly. His word is a life-giving word, will produce in us growth, results, fruitfulness, direction, purpose. Sometimes, of course, we do travel through dark valleys. Everybody, our neighbours, everybody has, and some people are going through real crises. Many people in other lands don't have homes, don't have water, don't have food. They just have to depend on handouts and on the mercy of others. And often under brutal regimes they live and so on. We're so blessed, we're so thankful. We do go through times of real crisis, times of suffering, times of sadness. Sometimes we are in the dark valley, aren't we? Sometimes we have to travel through the dark times. I used the example last week, didn't I, of the old negative films. When troubled, when in the dark, we need to develop night vision. I mentioned it is better to walk through the dark valley with God than on the mountaintop alone. Last week, and this is what Evelyn was talking about last night, we mentioned God is more concerned about our character than about our happiness. He's more concerned about me than our comfort. God is more concerned about holiness, isn't he? And last night we heard about, or you heard about, those of you who are here, of virtue versus impurity. And one of the verses which is on the notes is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, which says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If we're going to honour God, if we're going to walk with Him and have a right character, a character which is in the image, being moulded in the image of Jesus, being formed as Christ wants us to, we need to do the right things and encourage others to do the same. She mentioned about the necessity of guarding our ears, our eyes, our words, and our thoughts. And at times we need to stand alone, not go with the flow, not go with the crowd. And we need to abstain from anything that might damage or pollute our minds or body. The psalm, one of our favourite psalms, of course, is Psalm 23, and most people can quote it. And the third verse says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." He leads me, He directs me in the paths of righteousness, in paths of goodness, in paths of holiness, in paths of fruitfulness for His name's sake. I mentioned just now that doing the right thing isn't always easy, is it? Downloading the new album illegally may be the easy thing to do, but it's not the right thing. Copying your mate's homework on the bus going to school may be the easy thing, but it's not the right thing. Gossiping or complaining about a fellow Christian to another person may be the easy thing, but the hard thing is then phoning up that person who you've just gossiped or moaned about, saying, "Sorry, I have sinned against you." But it's the right thing to do. To be a follower of Jesus does require obedience and wholehearted commitment, doesn't it? God wants to help us. Our faithfulness to Jesus and His word may at times get us into grief. The word says, look, Jesus says, if I was persecuted, expect it yourself. If you're going to be a follower of me, you're going to get yourself into grief at times. People aren't going to like you. People are going to oppose you. The authorities may oppose you. Other nominal Christians may oppose you. But God's grace is a character building life. The word says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. So, verse 5, chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I was thankful for the way the praise, the worship went this morning, and how we were led into singing that song, and God can take the mountains away and so on. He can move the mountains and the just seeking God's face even at that time. Do we believe that God is big enough to take care of any situation? Do we really believe that God is big enough, powerful enough, able to take control of those situations which we are committing to Him? To the times when we just don't know what to do. And notice our text talks about the volume of our trust. What is the volume of our trust? With all your heart. Not part of it. All of your heart. Not half-hearted. Half-heartedness denotes that we may not be too serious. We may take Jesus as Lord when we feel like it and do our own thing when we don't. Christ has something to say about that in the book of Revelation. In fact, he calls it lukewarmness, doesn't he? He does. He says, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Total surrender, total devotion, total commitment to Him. No pitiful contributions. We're saying, your way, not mine, Lord. There's a story, I don't know whether it's true or not, you can decide for yourself. But a pig and a chicken were walking down the lane. Now, the chicken obviously only came up to the pig's kneecaps. But they were walking down and talking about the weather, as animals do. And they came across a house and a gate. And attached to the gate was a notice saying, "Come in today. Have an egg and bacon breakfast. All proceeds are going to charity." So the chicken turned to the pig and says, "Hey, that's right up our street. We can do our bit for charity." The pig turned around to the chicken and said, "That's easy for you to say. You've only got to give a contribution. Mine is total commitment." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Total commitment to trust God. He knows best. He knows best. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So we need to stop trying always to be in control. Do not lean on your own understanding. We have limited understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom." Even the foolishness. Last week I talked about Job, didn't I? We just mentioned about Job, and Job is one of our favourite characters, is he not? You see, even the smartest thing we might say is not that smart to God, is it? Lots of horrible things happened to Job. Everything went pear-shaped. He suffered more than any of us will ever. He lost everything, basically. His animals, his possessions, family. And one day, and I don't blame him, I'm sure he had more than one day if you read Job, but he had a particularly miserable self-pity day. And he actually questioned God. He asked God if he really knew what he was doing. Well, we've done that, haven't we, from time to time. And God, and Job could, if we like, justify what he said. He asked God, "Do you really know what you're doing?" But God, Almighty God, put Job in his place by simply saying, "Okay, Job, did you put the stars in place? Did you put the stars in place? You didn't. So until you can do stuff like that, don't even think about questioning me, because I know a lot more than you do." Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust God. Just trust me. Don't lean on your own cleverness. We can't possibly answer God when he says that, can we? We just have to surrender and say, "Let you be God. Thank you. Thank you, you're on my side." We were never, ever meant to figure everything out ourselves. But we were meant to have faith and trust God. And to learn from him. So go on. Ask God. Keep asking. He will answer in his time. He'll let you know everything that you need to know in his good time. He is wisdom. Far better to trust God and not, as Proverbs 2 says, put our trust or ask people who are of corrupt principles and of a corrupt mind. Thirdly and finally, verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths." That's a promise. He wants to make the crooked paths straight. The choices you and I make shape how we live our lives. Saying you're a Christian but living in the world, living as a caveman, just doesn't match up, does it? It doesn't. It's like saying, well, I sleep in the garage, so I'm a car. Ridiculous. If you want to walk with the Lord, we must let him guide us. That might mean making unpopular choices in life. It will not always be easy, but it's the right thing and God will honour. And the decisions do have an impact on eternity. This Proverbs we need to read. It's good to read through the scriptures beginning to end. Psalms is particularly good to keep reading. Proverbs also. Proverbs 18 and verse 15 says this, "The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." If you and I are still making the same mistakes as we made last year, we really do need to humble ourselves and ask God for wisdom. Because it's not God's will that we're still making the same mistakes, doing the same folly, doing the same sin. Getting up in the morning and just treating the day as any other day, or not just committing it to the Lord and saying, "Hey God, you've given me the breath, you've given me the breath through the night, thank you for my sleep, now's a new day, we are in partnership. We're in partnership. Help me through this day. When I'm tempted to do wrong, I'm going to call on you. I believe you're going to deliver me from all temptation, from the evil one. I believe that. That's what your word says. Deliver me from the evil one. I believe you're going to give me opportunity today, Lord, which I have the opportunity to blow or to accept. Help me to accept them as coming from you, and that I will be wise in my time, that I will be wise in what I say, and that you're giving me opportunities to point somebody to Jesus Christ." God likes that type of prayer and that type of commitment. We don't always do it, but we should. It says, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your days, every morning. And some days we just don't want to get going. Let's be honest, we don't. We can't face that boss. We can't face that particular job we've got to do. That person we've got to meet. It's physics again. I can't abide him. I can't abide that guy who's teaching me. Hey, Lord, help me. Appear for me. Give me wisdom. Give me grace that I may not be a victim in these circumstances, that I can rise up and you can use me for your glory. Lord, you know the problems. But it's nothing compared to what most people are going through. Help me, Lord. You're interested in me. And I'm a partaker of your divine nature. I'm complete in you. Therefore, I shouldn't fear. I shouldn't be like the coward and run away or do the wrong thing. Our decisions do affect us. If we're still making the same mistakes, if we're going through the day, through the week, moaning about the week, Monday morning, I wish it was Friday. Hey, we've got to change our mindset. We're believers in Jesus. Redeem the time, our days. Use them as times when we can express something of God's glory, of God's grace. And knowing that he's so compassionate and forgiving when we get it wrong. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He wants to direct our paths according to his purpose, not according to mine. If we want our future days to be different than the past, we need to learn to make better decisions. In all our days, we should acknowledge God, and in so doing, he will direct our paths. And that's talking about intimacy. It's talking about intimacy with God, isn't it? It really is. That's why we pray. That's why we read. That's why we're listening, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's why we want godly people around us. Why we meet together. We may hear from the Lord and fellowship with him. He delights in that. He does. He delights in that. After all, doesn't a father want to be with his children and spend time with them? Even hear them kick off at times. then he deals with us. But he still loves us. In all our days, we must maintain intimate contact with him. He wants to direct our paths to a fruitful and a victorious life. Faith and obedience are rewarded. He wants us to be so full of himself, full of the Holy Spirit, so that when we are confronted with difficult situations or people who are in real need, pray the word of God over them. Pray life over them. We need to seek God's wisdom to trust him. Commit your way unto the Lord. A couple of practical things. We're thinking about choices, we're thinking of decisions, guidance. It's seldom good to make permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances. Seldom the right thing to make permanent decisions based on what are very temporary circumstances. Also, we must be careful not to let our emotions to take over completely, control us. For example, sometimes, perhaps when there's been a big loss in the family or something, we are obviously emotional, we're very uptight and perhaps tearful, things seem to be falling apart. It's not normally the correct thing then to let our emotions control us, that we make a big life-changing decision. We need to wait and reflect and get God's help, God's grace. We need to pray. We need to weigh things up carefully, looking at all of the facts, not just feelings. And I've already hinted at this, and Evelyn certainly would have spoken about this last night. We need to surround ourselves with people who are walking with God, and who will also tell you and me the truth, even if we don't particularly want to hear it. Because actually they do care. They do want the best for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And it's not just for our benefit. It is that we will be enabled and empowered to shine as lights in a wicked and a perverse world, helping others to confront their own sin, their own folly, and to direct them to the Lord of Lords. Showing others that as we have allowed Christ to fill us with his Spirit, and that we're wanting him to direct our ways, that others will be struck by the supernatural. Another proverb, the New International Version, says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. God wants us to rely on him. Just finally, we all love the idea of living in a better town, a better school, better college, a better work environment. Maybe you've even prayed to God to do something. What if he has already done something? He sent you. Sometimes we don't take responsibility because we believe others are more qualified, more able. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. Help us, Lord, to apply our hearts to wisdom, to Christ and his ways. We don't profess it's easy, Lord, but this is a command. Pray, Lord, that we will be obedient to you and to your word. That we will know what it is to walk by the still waters, that intimate relationship with you. Help us to put our trust, wholehearted trust in you, Lord. Help us not to lean on our own understanding. Believe that you will continue to direct our paths. help us to realise, Lord, afresh that there are consequences to some decisions that we make. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. But what we sow, we reap. Help us to walk tenderly before you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be fruitful in our places of work. Help us be fruitful and victorious in our schools, in our colleges, in our homes. May others see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Direct our paths. Thank you, Lord.